Thank you very much, Betty. We need the Lord. I've been preaching 58 years, and every time I get up, I sense the need of the Lord. I can't do it without his help. And if he helps me, I preach. If he doesn't, I'm sunk. And so sometimes the Lord just, many times, the Lord just let me get up here and try it myself. It don't work. But it works for a preacher if the Lord helps him. So just pray the Lord will give me liberty and freedom tonight. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Genesis, the 19th chapter. Now, I didn't want to preach this tonight, but the Lord, as soon as Brother Jody asked me to preach Sunday morning and Sunday night, or tonight, this Lord seemed to lay this on my heart. And I got sermons stuck everywhere. I pulled out about 50, 75 and started going over and hoping the Lord would let me preach on love or faith or the second coming and not on Lot in chapter 19 of Genesis. But I couldn't find peace, and as I stand here tonight, I believe this is what the Lord wants me to preach. So Genesis 19, verse 1, page 28 in your old Schofield Reference Bible, King James Version. It always sounds, I've been saying it for a long time. It sounds pretty good, though. Verse 1 of Genesis 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. They called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters, which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. They said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand, pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so they were that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou hear any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of God. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And we'll stop our reading with verse 70. Let's pray, ask the Lord to bless us. Father, I thank you that one more time, Lord, you've given me the opportunity to stand before people behind the sacred desk and once again preach the word of God. Lord, I confess before God and man that, Lord, I can't do it without your help. And would you anoint me? May the blessed Holy Spirit give me liberty and help me to be faithful to the Word of God and to the God of the Word tonight. And may the Lord be exalted in this place. And Lord, speak to our hearts from thy Word, and we'll thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, I preached this sermon many years ago, and I told them when I got up last Sunday, it was sugar and honey. Today, it's going to be salt, so you know what's coming now. But there are many good lessons we can learn from the life of Lot. And so I hope the Holy Spirit will help you to, as I try to bring these out, that it'll help you tonight. As you can see from this passage of Scripture, Sodom was probably the most vile, wicked city this world has ever known. Two angels came to visit Lot, and he fed them. And before they retired that night, look at what verses 4 and 5 says. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, and all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. So all the men of Sodom, it says, young and old, wanted them to come out, Lot, to bring them out to them so they could have homosexual relations with them. Not only the men and boys were crowded around Lot's house, but it says all the people from every quarter, and many think that the women were there too. So this entire city was made up almost entirely, it seems like, of homosexuals. And God sent two angels carrying an entire city's death warrant. So the death warrant has been delivered to the city of Sodom here in this chapter. Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding countryside would be destroyed with fire and brimstone as soon as the sun came up the next morning. And the Bible in 2 Peter 2, 7, and 8, and this, we wouldn't ever know that Lot was saved if the Bible didn't say he was. And in 2 Peter 2, 7, and 8, the Bible calls Lot just and called him righteousness. But we see now in this passage of Scripture tonight, in Genesis 19, the sad spectacle of a saved man getting out of the will of God and getting locked into this present world system and winding up in disgrace. Now, his is one of the saddest stories in the Word of God. Lot started out wrong. His downward spiral started when he looked at Sodom. In Genesis 13, trouble came up between the herdsmen of Abraham and Lot. Abraham said, Lot, he said, we're kinfolks, and we shouldn't carry on with each other like this. This shouldn't be. You go to the right hand, and I'll go to the left hand, or vice versa. I'll go to the left hand, and you go to vice versa. You take the right hand, I'll go to the left, or the other way around. And in Genesis 13:10, Lot lifted up his eyes, beheld the well-watered plains. Now, here's where he went wrong first. And he chose to go in that direction, even though God's word tells us the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord. Then what was that word? Exceedingly. The Bible says that the men of Sodom were wicked sinners exceedingly. And so Lot's priorities, here's where he went wrong to begin with. His priorities were wrong, and he made the wrong choice. Let me mention it again. Lot's priorities, and this is where we go wrong when our priorities are wrong. We make wrong choices when our priorities are wrong. And he looked at the well-watered plains, and he couldn't resist the temptation, even though it would throw him right in the middle of exceedingly wicked sinners in God's sight. And many a man, has lost his family to the world, the flesh, and the devil because he didn't make a decision on what was best for him and his family spiritually. So men, make the decision when a decision is to be made on what's best for you and your family spiritually. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then God said all of these things will be added unto you. Now, not only did Lot look at Sodom, but he took his family down and lived in wicked Sodom. So first of all, he looked at Sodom. Then second, he lived in Sodom. Genesis 13:12 says, Lot dwelled in the cities of the plains and pitched his tent toward Sodom. You want to cry out, Lot, you're a saved man. You ought not take your family down into that wicked Sodom. It's a wicked city. Lot, don't go down there. Lot, don't go down there. Brother Graham just want to tell Lot, don't go down there. And after Lot and his family had lived there a few months or a few years, then we know the story. It continues. God sent two of his angels to tell Lot to get out. Sodom was going to go up in smoke before the dew dries out on tomorrow. Now, where did the angels find old Lot? Look at verse 1 there. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Now, we find there's significance in this. He's sitting at the gate of Sodom. Now, there's two interpretations people think of what happened here. First of all, in the Scofield Reference Bible, there's a reference to F in the center column, and says that Lot was a great man devoted in a place devoted to judgment. So he got involved in Sodom politics, and now he's made a city judge. That's what Scofield, and many believe that, and I sort of believe that. Others think that it means that Lot was just a buddy-buddy with him, and he's there at the gate having fellowship with these Sodomites. That could be, both of them could be right. But Lot talked with these two angels, and he got them to go home with him. And later that night, word got around Sodom, and hundreds and maybe thousands of homosexuals gathered outside of Lot's front door and demanded that he turn these two men over to them so they could abuse them sexually. And they were beating on the door, beating them and demanding that these two men be brought out to them. And the angels, Lot went outside, and the angels pulled Lot back in and then smote all of those men with blindness, all of those perverts out there with blindness. Then they said to Lot, get your family, get out of town, we're going to destroy this place. And because their sin was great, they said, hurry up, Lot. Get on the move. Get the lead out, Lot. If you don't get out of here, you're going to be destroyed with this city. And then the third thing. First of all, Lot looked at Sodom. And then he lived in Sodom. And then he lingered in Sodom. Look at verse 16. And I want to give emphasis to this evening. In verse 16, look. And while he lingered. Now, the death warrant had been sounded on Sodom, and the angels told Lot to get out. But look at his reaction in verse 16. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Lot was so much in love with the city of Sodom that the angels had to take. One angel took Sister Lot, the other angel took Mr. Lot, and the other angel took the two girls, and they had to pull them out of Sodom to get them outside of the city. Now, Lot was saved. It's hard to believe this, but the Bible says just Lot. That means he's a child of God and born again. And Lot had seen miracles, and he knew the promises God had made to Abraham. And God sent him a personal message to get out of town. Sodom will be destroyed when the sun comes up tomorrow. Yet Lot lingered in Sodom. Lingered in Sodom. You know, that's unbelievable. It's hard to see how he could possibly do it. But you know, really, that's a picture of many of us today. We linger many times when we know very well the will of God, don't we? We linger. And folks are all around us going to hell. And what are we doing? We're lingering. And members of our family are lost. Our sons, our daughters, our brothers, our sisters, our husbands, and our wives. And what are we doing? We're lingering. We're lingering. And we know that we ought to spend time in this blessed old book. We know we ought to pray, spend time in talking to God in prayer. But what are we doing? We're lingering before the boob tube, aren't we? And we're lingering in the newspaper, lingering at ball games, and lingering out having a good time. And we don't take time for God's word and take time for prayer. As the song says, take time. Folks, you know, if you're going to ever be spiritual and godly and have the power of God, you know it's going to take time. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with our Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are in need. Forgetting nothing, his blessing to seek. So let's not be too hard on Lot, though, because we do the same thing many times. And let's look at some of the possible reasons Lot lingered in Sodom. First of all, he lingered in separation. In verse 1, we saw that here he is now. Just Lot, saved Lot, righteous Lot, he's sitting in the gate with the Sodomites. And he knew God called his, Lot knew the principle of separation. He knew that. And folks, we know the principle of separation here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church too. And he knew God called his uncle Abraham to separate from his family. God said, separate and go out to a land I'll tell you. But Lot was not separated from the world. Contrarywise, Lot separated himself. Now, I'd forgotten this. I knew he did, but this is a tremendous thought. Lot separated himself from the narrow-minded fundamentalist Abraham. Did you know that? And he went down and yoked up. Now this is God's man, saved man, separated from one of the greatest men of God that ever lived, Abraham, and went down and yoked up with the wicked sinners of Sodom. That's unbelievable. And the story of Lot ought to teach every member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church that you and your family, listen to this preacher now, I've been preaching a long time. This is no new message. You know that. I've preached it many times. You're going to lose out spiritually. You and your family are going to lose out spiritually if you don't separate yourself from the world. Folks, it's that simple. God says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, saith the Lord. So, again, Lot, first of all, he lingered not only in separation, but he lingered in discernment. In Psalm 25:14, it says, the secret of the Lord is with them that what? Fear him. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And he will show them his covenant. Abraham was in fellowship with God, and the Lord revealed to Abraham that he's going to destroy Sodom. Now when the two angels appeared on the scene, Lot didn't have the foggiest notion that Sodom had no tomorrow. Do you know that? He's living out and not separated from the world, and the Lord wasn't revealing things to him. But they told him. He didn't have the foggiest idea that there was going to be no tomorrow for Sodom. And they told Lot that this was Sodom's last night. And Sodom was about to go to hell, and it amazes me that Lot lingered in a city where the kiss of death is on it. This old world, folks, is coming unraveled. I don't have to tell you that. I don't want to get on politics and get on how this nation's going, but listen, you know that things are coming unraveled all across this country, spiritually, economically, financially, in every way. Our homes are collapsing. Ungodliness is on every hand. And the Lord is coming upon us. The Lord's coming is near. And just as certain as these two angels said, Sodom will go up in smoke. Folks, I can tell you on the authority of God's word, listen to this preacher. Everything you have is going to go up in smoke. Everything you have is not only going to go up in smoke, but it's going to be destroyed. It's going to be destroyed. 2 Peter 3:10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Listen to this. In which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Everything's going to pass away with a great noise like that someday. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's where this world's headed. And I don't believe in the Big Bang theory of creation. I think it's foolish theory. But I believe in the Big Bang theory of the destructions of the heavens and the earth. Just like God's word says. And Revelation 20 verse 11 says, one day the heavens and the earth will flee away. And 2 Peter 3:11 says, all these things shall be dissolved. Look around you. Everything you see. The cars outside. Everything one day is going to be just dissolved away. Yet we, like Lot, we're lingering in this old world, aren't we? And we're yoked up with a world that is headed for destruction, and seemingly we don't have many times spiritual discernment to realize. You know what Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and I need, you need? We need spiritual discernment. Holy Ghost common sense is what we need. Well, Lot lingered in separation. Well, how long am I going here? I'm just getting started here. We've got plenty of time. Lot lingered in separation. He lingered in discernment. Now, are you ready? Are you with me? Is everybody awake? Lot lingered in standards. He lingered in standards. Those homosexuals in Sodom came to Lot's door wanting these two angels. And he said, now wait a minute, fellas. Don't touch these men. He said, let me give you my two daughters. Look at verse 8. This is a mind-boggling verse. Look at Genesis 19, verse 8. Listen to what Lot said in verse 8. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Now this is just Lot talking. This is righteous Lot. It's unbelievable. Only unto these two, unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And so Lot said, let's make a deal. He said, you shut up and leave these two guests of mine alone, and I'll give you my two daughters. And that is unbelievable. You say, we wouldn't do a thing like that. Folks, I hate to tell you, yes, we do a lot of times. We do a lot of times. Many of us are doing the very same thing because we're lingering in our standards. Now, folks, God wants his people to be holy and be righteous and do right and live right. You say, preacher, what do you mean lingering in standards? Well, sometimes we let our wives and girls dress half naked. Now, you know that's true. You know that's true. You know, we breed our dogs and cats and cows to first-class registered stuff. But we'll let our girls many times jump in a car and go out on a date with any sorry character that comes along. Getting mighty quiet in here. But you know what this preacher's telling? Now, by the way, this is for you new folks. I've been preaching this way for a long time. And we let our children run to the ungodly Hollywood movies, or let them rent a video or CD and show it in our homes, and they're destroying our kids morally and spiritually. What our kids are seeing are destroying. Then, let me just pay my respects to the prom. Prom time comes around, and we don't have enough spiritual backbone to say you're not going to the dance as long as you stick your feet under the table in this house. Oh, preacher, I couldn't say. You ought to have my father. He'd said, son, as long as you stick your feet under my table, you can do as I say around here. And by the way, I still think a praying knee and a dancing foot don't go on the same leg. Somebody say amen. Help me out on this, folks. I thank you for those 2 weak amens there. Okay. That's more like it, Graham. Thank you for helping me out here. Now listen to me, parents. Now, you know, I've been around you a long time. I'm for you, and I want to help you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I want to help you. And listen, if we don't set some holy standards, some godly standards in our homes, folks, we're going to lose our sons and daughters. And we're going to lose them to the sodomites of this world. That's where we lose them to. Well, let me repeat that, and I'll move on and persecute you somewhere else. If we don't set some, listen to me now, if anybody's asleep, reach over, give them an elbow, wake them up, they need to hear this. If we don't set some holy, godly standards in our homes, we will lose our sons and daughters to the sodomites of this world. Okay, Lot also lingered in worldly associations. And you see why I didn't want to preach this tonight. But the Lord wanted me to preach it, so that's one of them. If I never preach anymore, I'm going to preach this tonight. Because it's true. Lot lingered. I got 10 minutes to persecute you, so just hang on. Tighten your seat belt. I don't think Lot was a homosexual now, but he had close associations with them. I'm just now getting wound up. I think maybe he might have gone by every now and then and said, how you doing, honey? And find out how his friends come along. Listen, he had no principles or convictions, and he was right at home with that crowd. Lot lingered in his worldly associations, and you know what? His daughters married sodomites. Are you lingering in worldly associations? Listen, if you're lingering in worldly associations, I'll guarantee you it'll take a toll on your life and in your family. Then also he lingered in obedience to the word of God. Now I'm getting closer to the end. You're going to make it. You've done pretty well so far. You're going to make it. Just let me say a few more things. We'll be through. He lingered in obedience to the word of God. God sent word to Lot to hurry up and leave. I'm going to destroy Sodom. In verse 15, the angels hastened Lot, and yet he lingered. Look at verse 17. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. He lingered in what God clearly told him to do. And Lot, just like us sometimes, we linger in our obedience to the word of God. Folks, we ought not linger in our obedience to the word of God. A lot of times we linger in this obeying the Lord in baptism. After we're saved, we know that the Bible says we ought to be baptized. We linger in tithing when we know that God's word says that a tenth of our income belongs to the Lord. Linger in church attendance when it says forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. We linger in church membership when we know we ought to find a Bible-believing fundamental Baptist church somewhere and join it. Now some of you have never been saved maybe tonight. I don't know in a crowd like this, or maybe somebody not even saved. If you were to die right now, you'd die without Christ, and you're lingering in your salvation. God's word says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Lot looked at Sodom. He had the wrong priority. He lived in Sodom. He had the wrong associations. He lingered in Sodom. His heart was in the wrong place. He was earthbound. Now one last thing. He lost everything he had in Sodom. Lost everything. He lost, first of all, he lost his testimony. You know, I thought of this today. I was back in my office back there, and when I thought of here, Lot ended in disgrace, his life, he lost his testimony. And I thank God, sitting right back in that seat. Now, I asked the Lord if I could say this tonight. Now, I'm not the Christian I ought to be. I could have been a far better preacher than I was. I'm not bragging about myself, but I can say one thing. I'm 79 years old. I've never lost my testimony. When I came here, the Lord laid on my heart to keep my hands off the women and to keep my hands off the money and be faithful to that old book. Now, I've never considered myself a great preacher, never considered myself a brilliant scholar, biblical scholar, or anything like that. But one thing every preacher can do, he can keep his hands off the opposite sex. He can keep his hands off of the money. And by the way, nobody can, since I've been 44 years and 6 months here, nobody can honestly say before God, they might lie on me, but before God, they can't tell him Gene Lansley acted inappropriately around women. They can't say that. And also, they can't say that I ever touched any of the church's money. It didn't belong to me. Before I left here, we had a Christian financial man come in here, and he checked the books and said everything is in order. And then, by the grace of God, I can say, at best, I'm an unprofitable servant, but I've tried, Brother Graham, to be faithful to this old book. I don't know of any time that I've dipped the flag on that old book. Now, I've asked the Lord for permission. I felt freedom to say this. And you know, everybody ought to be able to. You ought to say, "Yes, I'm going to be faithful. I'm not going to lose my testimony." The Lord takes me. You ought to say that. And then you ought to just be honest in your dealings financially, and then best you can be faithful. This old, we can all, folks, every preacher ought to do that. And I'm glad. Though I said I thank God for the privilege of pastoring this church. And listen, it's my privilege. I'm just an under shepherd under the chief shepherd. And the Lord was good in giving us so many good people here at this church. And we collectively, the Lord's blessed us. And I'm not taking the credit for it. The credit belongs to Him. The glory belongs to the Lord. But folks, we all ought to, don't listen. You're many good people sitting in this church right here. Don't lose your testimony. Stay true to God the rest of your days. And when it comes time to the end, don't die in shame like Lot did. Just be able to say, "I've never dipped the flag. I've never," you ought to determine that tonight. You're never, boys, these two boys, where's Nathaniel? Over here. Boys, listen. Keep your hands off the women as you go down through life in the ministry. Keep your hands off the church money and be faithful to, love God, love people, be faithful to that book. And boys, listen, I'm here to tell you, I've been at this thing 58 years, God will bless you if you will. God will bless us all, we all. Let me just mention one other thing. We'll be through. I've still got about 4 minutes for quitting time. As Jody would say, I don't want to let you out too early. Might get used to it, you know. But one last thing. Well, I've already said this, though. He lost everything in Sodom. I've already said that. I was going ahead and finished it, though. He lost his testimony. He lost his sons-in-law. He lost his possessions. He lost his wife. He lost his daughters. And in the last, I won't turn to it and read it. Time's out, gone. I'm just about through. And in the last 6 verses of this chapter, we see the sad ending of a saved man. His daughters got him drunk and committed immorality with him. And each one of his daughters bore an illegitimate son, child, that fathered by a drunken father. So what a shame. That's a terrible way to end your life, isn't it? a saved man, keep in mind. So Christian, if you linger in this world, you'll suffer loss, I'll guarantee you. And come out of the world so you can know the blessing. You can't, there's no power in victory in a worldly Christian's life. The only power, listen, if you're saved, you might as well come out of the world, because you'll never know the power of God, never know victory until you come out of the world. There's only victory when you come out of the world and go out and out for Jesus Christ. An unsaved friend, if you're here without Christ tonight, if you're in this world without Jesus, you'll suffer eternal loss. Come to Jesus while the door of mercy is still open. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you for the privilege of letting me. These are my heartfelt convictions. I felt like preaching them because the Lord laid it on my heart. And folks, let's determine we're going to go all out for God. Go God's way. Live right, do right, think right, walk right. God will bless us. Let's just play something through there. All to Jesus, I surrender, whatever you've got there. You know what I'd like for us to do? I'd like for about 8 or 10 men come up here and pray for our young people up in Indiana. Just slip up here and pray. Pray for the services Sunday. Just a number of you come up here and pray. Just pray for Brother Jody. He's probably up there maybe speaking right now, and the young people, working with the kids. Just pray for him right now. Then maybe as these pray, as Carol plays the piano, maybe God's spoken to your heart tonight. You say, preacher, the Lord wants me to make a determination. I'm not going to lose my testimony. I'm going to live for Jesus and try my best to do right until the Lord calls me home. If you want to come down here and pray on your own, just slip down here. Brother Ira, will you just pray for us and close the service and prayer here, and pray for the service this Sunday. Pray for Brother Jody and young people, Brother Bob and those with them up there in Indiana. God will help them tonight, tomorrow night, and Friday night. Give them a safe trip back. Go ahead and pray.
Jody and his family and the young people that are in Indiana, that you give them some great services this week, and continue to save souls and continue to speak to them through the Vacation Bible School and through the preaching of the Word. And Lord, bless that pastor and that church. May it be a great help to him and to their people. And Lord, we pray for our service. Lord, you bless our services Sunday. And Lord, you bless every phase of the service, our bus ministry, Sunday school classes, and Lord, the superintendents and the teachers. And Lord, we pray that you just bless everything that's done here in the rest of this week. And Lord, our services Sunday, we'll thank you for what you did. Thank you for our Brother Lashley. Bless him as he goes and preaches in different churches. Continue to bless his ministry. Bless those, our missionaries, our farm field, those here at home.